All right, thank you for listening to this podcast. I decided to record a Sunday school lesson, or probably end up being a series of Sunday school lessons for the podcast. I am going to try to upload those on a weekly basis and see how that goes. So I decided to walk it back a little bit and talk about the Bible. More specifically, why should we read the Bible? And from my perspective, and with a growing church and a lot of new faces and young believers and believers that are struggling, it's good sometimes to hit the reset button. Go right back to the basics. The first thing that you learned when you got saved was to read and study your Bible. And I know it gets old because you hear that probably a lot from the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and just people in general. And for new believers or those that are struggling, they need to be reminded that there is a reset, if you will. You know, when you start to wander away from the faith and you start to struggle a little bit, there are things that you can do to get back on track. And obviously one of those is to make sure that you are spending time reading the Bible. And there's a lot of reasons, and I'm going to get to some of those, probably not in this particular podcast, but in the ones going forward, I certainly will. And this, of course, will be covered in the Sunday school. But the psalmist said in Psalm 119, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" You know, there is hope and comfort, quoting the Romans 15, verse number 4. There is hope and comfort found in the Word of God. There's correction, there's guidance, there's peace, there's comfort, there's strength, there's knowledge, there's understanding that comes from reading the Bible. And I think that a lot of Christians and churches in general have gotten away from the Bible. Now, they may mention the Bible from the pulpit, and they may talk about reading and studying the Bible, but is there really any genuine application to it? And that's the real question. You know, what's the follow-up? Once you leave those church doors behind you, what's the follow-up? Are you listening to the Bible? I know I got some folks that like to listen to the Bible, and that's fine. And then there are others that like to spend time reading it. And so is that happening? Is that happening in your life? You know, if it's not, then you shouldn't question why you don't have peace or joy in your life, because this is the fast track to joy and peace, reading the Word of God and studying the Bible. So I realize that this lesson and others like this are going to seem very rudimentary to a lot of people, but to many others, it's going to seem like a refresher. And then there will be those who have not considered some of these things. And, you know, that's just another layer that they can add to their knowledge and their faith and their knowledge of the Bible and so forth. And another reason, it's always good to put the brethren in remembrance of these things, especially when you consider the subject for our Sunday school lesson. It is said that the American churches have lost their way. They've departed from the Bible in institutions of higher learning, for example, public schools for the most part, even in homes and in churches. You know, the Bible should be the heartbeat of every born-again Christian. It's the very Word of God, the Book of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Oracles. The Scriptures are described as a lamp unto our feet. And so if we no longer prioritize the Bible, then we will be wanderers wandering in the dark aimlessly. We need a point of reference, and the Bible is our point of reference. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, said this: "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays a hold of me." End quote. The Bible is indeed alive. It is a spiritual book. It is a supernatural book. The Scripture states the Word of God is quick, meaning alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the book is a living book. It's not like some novel you'd pull off the bookshelf or buy in a bookstore. This is the living Word of God, inspired by God and preserved for us in this generation. Now, many would agree that the Bible is the Word of God, given by inspiration from God Himself. These are the same people who, while admitting this, don't read it. They will attest to its infallibility, its inerrancy. They will attest to its inspiration, but they don't read it. And then go on to wonder why homes are broken, why family relationships are scattered, and why churches are emptying out or on the verge of selling out to the God of pragmatism. We wonder why our children are turning away from the church to paganism or just walking hopelessly away from religion in general. An alarming statistic that was put out by Barna and other pollsters, this is from Lifeway 2016, and this survey showed that more than half of Americans had read little or none of the Bible. This is in 2016. I can imagine where we are today. This poll, these statistics, ought to be the clarion call for the churches in America to return back to the Bible. I don't mean to just preach about what a great book it is. We can get up and thunder and bluster from the pulpit and wave the Bible around and tell people what a great book it is. There are plenty of preachers that do just that. You know, they thunder forth from the pulpits with all kinds of craziness about the inspiration of the Bible and the preservation and defending it and everything else, but do little to live by it and to encourage their people to live by it, to teach their children to live by it. And so we got to get back to the rudiments of the faith, and the Bible is the core of that. It's the heartbeat of our faith. It really is. We talk about revival. And if there's going to be a revival, there needs to be a return back to the book, a vigorous return back to the book, not just tiptoeing back to it or casually approaching it. I mean, a vigorous, aggressive return to a study of God's word, a study with intent, a study to apply and live by and promote. And so we need to do that vigorously, not take it lightly. So don't preach about what a great book it is. Preach what a great book it is, and then call people, charge people to live by it and to teach it to your congregation, to teach it to your children, and so forth. Listen, to make America great again, the Bible, the Word of God, must be made great again in her churches, homes, and society. The challenge before us is not infallibility as much as it is biblical illiteracy. So what are some benefits of reading the Bible? Number one, reading the Bible prepares us by giving us a correct worldview and helping us throughout life. A biblical or Christian worldview is, and I quote, one's conception of the world through the lenses of the Bible or being a Christian. So, in other words, someone's worldview is what helps them make sense of the world. It is really the best way to understand reality, a biblical worldview, that is. So one's worldview is the basis for making daily decisions. Everything is in accordance to what we know about the Bible, our understanding of the Bible, our understanding of faith and doctrine and so forth. And we apply these. That's why it is important not just to thunder blust about what a great book it is and not live by it. We need to anchor ourselves to the book with the intent that we're going to strive daily to live according to its precepts. And this is why it is important. Now, on the other side of the biblical worldview is the naturalist or the secular humanist worldview. So they look at the world through the lenses of evolution. Naturalism deals with a number of things, and one of which is that we are the product of random acts of nature with no real purpose. That's the basic definition. I mean, there'll be others that you could add to that, but that's basically what it is. You really don't have any purpose other than just kind of exist and be a benefit to humanity. Humanism, you talk about humanism, it ties right in perfectly with that. You look at the different levels of humanism and what they believe, their criteria, if you will. The Humanist Manifesto, I think, is what you'd look at. And you could see It's all human focused. It's self-centered is what it is. We're not a product of random acts of nature with no real purpose. You know, the psalmist was spot on this in Psalm 119, verses 11 and 12. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So there is an acknowledgement that it's the word of God, inspired. There's a desire here, we see in the psalmist, a desire. I want to live by the word of God. I want to vigorously apply it to my life. So he's crying out. He said, look, teach me thy statutes. Teach me the word. Give me understanding, Lord, and help me through your spirit to apply this to my life. Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 35 says this, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Reading the Bible prepares us by giving us a correct worldview and serves as a guide in our lives. The second reason or benefit from reading the Bible is peace of mind. We have a peace of mind knowing all things are going to work out. Romans 8, 28, they're going to work out according to God's purposes. All things will turn out as God outlined them in Scripture. So we can be assured that God is in full control, that God is indeed everything the Scripture declares him to be, including his sovereignty. One of my favorite verses is found in Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Through a vigorous and consistent diet of God's word, we will cultivate a peace of mind. So there is a peace when reading and applying Scripture, knowing that sins are forgiven. There is a peace knowing you have access to God, always. Always have access to God. You can always enter into the throne room of God's grace and find grace to help in the time of need. You can have communion with God. There is peace in just having fellowship with Christ through the word. There is peace of mind knowing that all things will work out. And then number three, reading the Bible will give us comfort. In a world of uncertainty, we come to the Scriptures and we find something we can anchor ourselves to. The world is constantly shifting and changing. There is nothing that is solid, that is permanently in place in the world. The world is a wicked, sinful place. It is decaying. It's corrupt. It's ungodly. It's against the things of God. Human nature, at its best state, is altogether vanity, the Bible says. And we know from Scripture that man is depraved. The whole being of man is depraved. And so it's like trying to fix a car with a broken wrench. Man is depraved, therefore he is flawed in his thinking. He's flawed in the decisions that he makes morally and spiritually. He's spiritually discerned. And only the Spirit of God can change that in a man and give him a new nature. And then through that new nature, begin to glean what God's will is for his life and the significance of the Word of God in his life. So when we go through in life, we go through these many challenges as Christians, we go through trials and burdens, we are relieved, we are encouraged, we are strengthened through a steady reading and contemplation of God's Word. The Scriptures do a number of things. They challenge us to live above fear. They encourage us to look beyond the temporal for our comfort, which a lot of Christians today, because of pragmatism and philosophy and occultism, believe it or not, occultism, and we'll talk about that in another episode, but occultism, people are entertaining things in their life, multiple things, to try to find comfort and peace, when in reality, God says, here is my word. Find comfort here. Find comfort in my son, Jesus Christ. But idols and idolatry and idol worship take the front seat and God takes the back seat, and it should be the other way around as believers. So again, a vigorous reading and application of the Word of God gets us beyond idols and gets us beyond finding comfort in every other thing in the world, all the corrupt things of the world, and redirects our focus to a holy God and gives us the tools and the means and the grace to be able to find our joy and comfort in God alone. The scriptures also teach us to enjoy God and find joy in God. He is the source of our joy. The Spirit gives us joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And so enjoy God. And again, you can't enjoy something you know little or nothing about. And you know little or nothing about God because you don't read the book of God. It really comes down to that. And then you start entertaining false notions about who God is. You know, and you wonder why things are a mess in your life. The Word of God teaches endurance through trials and tribulations. So reading the Bible will teach us how to endure through these trials and tribulations. Then we see a couple of examples in the Old Testament. Enoch walked with God. He was pleased. He was happy. He was content walking with God. He walked with him so consistently and regularly that one day he was just taken up. Abraham found God as his shield and great reward. David, my goodness, a study of David. David strengthened himself in God. David was a man that was subject to the flesh and the sin, but even after that, found his place with God and found in God strength to deal with the persecution that he was enduring, the trials, the hardships, the depression, all of that. He found his strength in God. He was a man after God's own heart, according to Hebrews 11. And then Hezekiah spreading his letter before the Lord. And of course, many other cases are seen in the scriptures. So why should we study the Bible? Well, as a Christian, it shouldn't be a matter of us telling you why you should study it. It should be a matter of Christians wanting to study it and desiring to. Wow, God, the creator of all things, has given us this wonderful book to read and to study and to hold in our hearts and to live by and even to die by. Why wouldn't we want to read and study the Word of God? So that I'm going to break it there. There will be another part to this lesson. I'll get to it sometime this week, but I figured I'd put this up today. Have a great day and take care.